Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is ComCare Crisis Manager Maggie Thompson. Welcome to Issues 2025, Maggie, to begin with.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. September Suicide Prevention Month, and that's our focus today. September's almost got away from us, but here we are. ComCare of Sedgwick County, is that our county health department?
It is. It's our county community mental health center.
Okay. And how long have you been with ComCare then?
This is my third time with ComCare, so I think in total it's about 10 years, this time about two.
Third time, huh?
Yeah.
What? Okay.
I can't stay away.
Okay. Tell us about your experience in healthcare generally. What have you done in your career?
I am celebrating my 30th year in mental health care. Actually, that was my first adult job, was working at Charter Mental Health Hospital 30 years ago. So, I received my bachelor's in psychology from Newman, and then I went and got my master's in therapy from Friends. And it's been about 13 years since I've been clinically licensed as a therapist.
Okay. Now, what made you, what did your thinking to become or get involved in this line of work?
It was interesting because as I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, you know, I had gone to work at Charter at 19. And they had me running groups in a very short amount of time. And I thought, well, you know, maybe there's some talent there. And I thought about how, you know, as I was growing up and I was in high school, things like that, people would come to me with issues and I could help them problem solve. And so I thought, well, let me check out psychology. And I just never looked back.
Yeah, and where are you from?
I'm from here, from Wichita.
And what schools did you go to?
So I went to Campus, which is
campus
in Hayesville, for high school.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So how did you get involved with suicide crisis management? Was that what you did from the start?
It's
or did
not,
you evolve into that?
It evolved.
Okay.
So, you know, from the start, I generally worked with patients who had been through a lot of trauma, which evolved into working with people with personality disorders. What I noticed in that, in getting some certifications and working with people with personality disorders, is that the suicide rate was very high. So when I came back to ComCare, I started working with our crisis line, and we started receiving calls through 988. So we handle those 988 calls for this area, and just learning a lot more about suicide rates and what it meant, and, you know, a lot more of the signs and symptoms of that.
You talk about 988, and within my frame of reference, that's a relatively young number. How long have they had that number available?
It's been a couple years. It's relatively young. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I could. I trust my memory there. Let's get an idea, if we can, about the size of this problem. How many Americans take their own lives in a year, Maggie?
So there are tens of thousands, and specifically here in Sedgwick County, in 2023, we had about 92 completed suicides, and in 2024, that went up to over 100. We're still looking at aggregate data, but it's about 108 completed suicides just in Sedgwick County alone.
Any idea what's behind it, or is that the increase?
Unfortunately, it increases every year. We very rarely see dips. Now, that can happen because 23 was actually lower than 22. So we do see sometimes they go down, but unfortunately, as the population grows, of course, you know, successful suicides grow. Things that are happening politically, socially, those kind of things can add to it. We've seen over the last couple of years some spikes in suicide rates for kids in middle school. So that's super unfortunate. But, you know, this is also during a time when they're working on active school shooter drills and things like that. So stress is very high. And we've also seen an increase in our retirement age people in completed suicides. And, you know, we've had issues with Medicare and benefits and Social Security. And so a lot of times just social stresses will play into those bumps in numbers.
You may get a little more when you're in an economic recession. The economy stinks and people are unemployed. Oh, a lot of things can happen.
Right. A lot of people are miserable right now.
Yeah. Well, that's a, you know, it's a general statement, but I was talking to my barber the other day. He basically told me the same thing.
Yep.
He said, people are angry.
They are.
And he said, in his little barber shop over there, he almost had to break up a fight last week.
Oh, goodness.
He got into it over politics.
Politics, yeah. We're very divided. And, you know, the thing about suicide is that it crosses all divides. So there are completed suicides from age 5 to age 100. It's every race, every creed, every ethnicity, every socioeconomic background, every political and religious stance. Suicides happen across all of those demographics. There's not one demographic that's any safer than another. Depression can be a fatal disease. And when it hits, it can hit hard.
When you say about a five-year-old, have you actually experienced someone that young?
I have.
That's got to be devastating. Gosh.
And it's odd to say, but the fortunate thing is at 5, there's limited access to means to be able to complete
it. Right, right.
And so you'll see more attempts than you will see successful suicide, but those attempts still happen. They are still there.
I just can't imagine someone that young. I mean, okay. But I trusted you. You know what you're talking about. What do the statistics indicate to you about those who commit suicide? Basically, I think you've told me. It's everybody.
It can happen to everybody. Now, the thing about those who complete suicide, there are, when we look back, unfortunately, in this situation, hindsight can be 20/20. We will see that maybe there was a limited prior attempt. So once somebody has attempted once, it's a high risk that they'll attempt again. Maybe they were making comments and statements that we didn't necessarily take seriously, or they started giving things away. They started saying, oh gosh, I wish I would just go to bed and never wake up. They were doing these things that could have led us to knowing what was going on. And like I said, you know, depression can have the symptom of suicidal ideation or ideas of suicide.
And you covered most of my questions here already, but when you're talking about depression, anxiety, how do we know the difference, and is there a difference between depression and anxiety? Help us a little with the psychology.
Sure, sure. Depression is a depressed mood. Think about depressing. You know, it's down. You're putting pressure on it. So it's a depressed mood. People with depression have a problem with motivation. They have a problem with energy, being overly fatigued. They may eat more or less. Eating, you know, will change. And they may sleep more or less. A lot of times, if it's less, it means they have some anxiety that goes in with it. Now, what happens with depression is that we can have what we call intrusive thoughts. So these are thoughts that pop into your head, and we all have thoughts that pop into our head. But these are thoughts that you can't get them to go away. And these thoughts usually aren't very kind to the person thinking them. It's, you know, I'm worthless. Everybody be better off without me. I'm not, you know, nothing's ever going to get better. Those kind of hopelessness, helplessness, sort of self-degrading thoughts can happen with depression, which you can see how then that would lead to ideas of suicide. With anxiety, that gives anxiety, I like to explain it this way, it gives our mood a voice. because you know it's anxiety when the intrusive thoughts are just round and round and round and all over the place. Mm. And a lot of times they are catastrophizing. So it's constantly talking about worst case scenario, whether it's things that happened in the past and making them seem much worse than they are, or trying to maybe predict the future and talk about how terrible it's going to be. So when you have anxiety with depression, you have anxiety giving a voice to that depression, which can create a lot more problems in trying to navigate that.
When we're looking at depression, is it something in your experience, or can it be chemical, something in the brain that's beyond control?
It can be both. And it can be either. So there are situational depression. So take grief as an example. If someone loses a family member, especially if it's, you know, unplanned, you know, something you didn't know was going to happen, if you have grief, you're going to have a depressed mood. You're going to be really sad and maybe have some problems with motivation and maybe some brain fog and those kind of things. But that's from a situation. So there are situations that can happen that you get very sad, and maybe it's hard to come up out of it. And that's when therapy is really indicated. And then other times it is a chemical imbalance. It can be hereditary that those neurotransmitters, those brain chemicals, you just don't have as many to work with. And so that's when we look at maybe medication to help that chemical imbalance.
Well, I'm a big history buff,
mm-hmm.
and you probably know that President Lincoln had some very dark moments. Apparently, I don't know if he was depressive, but he'd get under a cloud and he wrote and talked about it. And he had a lot of bad things in his life too.
Right.
I wonder if I'm sure he probably considered suicide once or twice.
Yeah.
We don't know that, but.
Right. And those really dark times, those dark nights, you know, sometimes they call those dark nights of the soul, you know, especially during those times when Lincoln was alive. Mm. And, you know,
lost a child and some things
right,
like that.
Right. Yeah. And they call it that because there's a lot of introspective that goes into those dark nights. What's my purpose here? What am I doing? Is there hope for the future? Which, again, plays into those thoughts of, do I stay here or do I go?
Well, personally, I'll share a little something personal with you. 9/11, I had some pretty dark moods after that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that personal, but there it was. And the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
That was a tough time for folks, I'll bet. You know, if somebody's sick, you couldn't go see them in the hospital, things like that.
Mm-hmm. We did see a spike in completed suicides during COVID.
Yeah.
Not only did we have people who couldn't be with their loved ones as they were going through, you know, they're passing on, but we had people who were so isolated and yeah. being so isolated, cut off from other people, especially those people who were completely alone during quarantine and seeing no end in sight. You know, those quarantines kept getting extended and extended and extended. Yeah. That really can exacerbate those low moods.
You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is ComCare Crisis Manager Maggie Thompson. Maggie, what's the most common method?
The most common method is firearm. That is the most common method overall and also for men who complete suicide.
And of those who attempt suicide and don't succeed, how many will repeat?
There is a high risk. There's not a lot of specific numbers because it will depend on demographic, on who will repeat. But we do know that there is a high risk of repeating an attempt once a person has attempted once.
Tell us about the impact of suicide on the loved ones of the deceased, the people who are left behind.
There's a lot of survivor guilt that can go into that because, you know, when someone that you love, somebody that you care about has completed suicide, the first thing you ask yourself is, what could I have done? You know, what could I have done differently? Did I miss the signs? Did I miss something? Did I ignore them when they called? So, you know, we take in a lot of survivor guilt thinking that we could have done something different. And then, you know, just like with all grief, you can move into some anger. Sometimes we can get angry at the person who has completed suicide for, you know, why didn't you reach out? Why didn't you talk to me? Why would you do this to us? And I think a lot of what combats that is just learning about the mindset of suicide, how depressed people are, and it does change their thinking. And once they get to that certain point, even if you present them with evidence to the contrary, they have a hard time believing that their life means something.
And when you talked about this before, but I want to get into it. And that is the signs that you look for if someone we know is thinking about it. Mm-hmm. What are the telltale signs? And I guess you've already done this once, but I want to.
No, it's fine.
I want to concentrate on this.
Okay, so some signs that you can look for. Number one is giving away things, especially things that have meaning. You know, we all will give away stuff or, you know, give people hand-me-downs or take things to the thrift store. But when they're giving away things that mean something, you know, maybe an heirloom that they got from a grandparent, their pet, things that really mean something to them because, you know, you have to think, why would they be giving away something that means so much to them? Why would they not want to have it themselves? And so people tend to try to make plans ahead of time if they are planning to commit suicide. And then we also look for what are the things that they're saying? Are they saying things like, I wish I would go to bed and never wake up. I wish I could just make it all go away. Or hopelessness, you know, this is just never going to get better. This is always going to happen to me. Those always and never statements can be indicative, especially if they say nothing's ever going to help, because then we've sort of given up on.
Hopeless.
Yeah, just hopeless, helpless in those situations kind of speak to that level of depression has gone there. And then some other actions to look for is if they really stop having an interest in things they used to have an interest in. You know, they don't want to go out with their friends anymore and they used to do that. They don't want to go bowling when they used to love bowling. They don't want to go to the movies when they used to love going to the movies. That really speaks to that fatigue and lethargy and sort of hopelessness.
You know, when somebody famous commits suicide, does it have a real impact on the general public?
It really does.
Sometimes I get angry and say, you had so much talent.
Right.
You had everything going for you.
Right.
But that's...
It has an impact on the general population in that, you know, there's not a lot of well-known information about suicidality in that, like when I say depression can be a fatal disorder, is that when people get to a certain point in that depression, they really need to be cared for. You know, somebody has to intercede during those points. But if we didn't see it, we didn't know it. Some people hide things really, really well.
Yeah.
Then there's nothing we can do. But the general population will have those kind of reactions. The other thing that can happen is if somebody is considering suicide and then somebody well-known completes suicide, that can give people the impetus to go ahead and do it. Oh, look, they could do it.
They
it's unfortunate
approval.
We call it successful suicide, but... Somebody
completion,
you know,
whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody completed suicide. And since I've been thinking about, oh, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And so you will see a spike in suicide attempts after that.
What impact does social media have on suicide?
Social mania?
Social media.
Oh, media.
I'm sorry.
Social media. There's so many impacts. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is like this online bullying that happens,
you know,
because you will see, and, you know, we have this increase during middle school, but you will see kids telling other kids to kill themselves, you know, online. They're bullying, and that will invariably come up where they'll be like, you're this, you're this, you're this. So you no longer need your intrusive thoughts to be telling you these things because externally somebody is telling you these things. So that's huge. And then, you know, when somebody does complete suicide, then that will be all across social media. you know, we currently had some, and I don't speak politically, but we've had some political things going on, and we've had both sides telling each other, you should die, you should be dead, you know, or people online, adults telling each other, you should kill yourself. And it's just amazing because in social media, they call them keyboard warriors, right? Because when you're behind the keyboard, you can say and do all kinds of things that you wouldn't do face to face.
I call them keyboard cowards.
Yeah, there's that.
Because so, I've dealt with a few of them in my
right.
business.
So people will say the most heinous things.
Yeah, come tell me that to my face.
Right, and then they never will. People will not show up. They will not show up.
You know, ComCare, I know you do a lot of great things at ComCare, but what kind of programs and services do you offer for people who are considering suicide?
The number one intervention that we have is the crisis center.
Okay.
So to get a hold of the crisis center, you can either call our crisis hotline at 316-660-7500, or the easier way is to just call 988, and we will answer those calls. Now, through the crisis center, we have crisis counselors who can speak to people over the phone if that's what they're comfortable with. We also have at the center, people can just walk in, no appointment needed, where they can see a therapist at that appointment. People, you don't need insurance, you don't need money, you don't need any of that kind of stuff. You can just come in and talk to somebody and they can help out. We also have a mobile crisis unit that if you're not able to come in, you're not comfortable with coming in, we can send a therapist and a case manager to you to see you. So that's intervention number one. But in general, through ComCare, we have therapists in schools. We have people who do individual therapy, family therapy, group therapy. We have medication providers. We have case management. We have care coordination to hook people up with resources. We just really have a lot of people that can really wrap around somebody who is needing any type of mental health assistance.
Does ComCare have anything for the survivors, the family, the friends, or things like that?
Absolutely, absolutely. That the family therapy, individual therapy, grief counseling definitely can be accessed through ComCare of Sedgwick County.
All right, so you have, in my opinion, chosen a profession that you could have some pretty dark days yourself just looking at the future and what it holds. Maybe hoping someday you can bring those numbers down, but it doesn't help. It doesn't happen that way. So is there any hope we can do that as we learn more about it?
Absolutely, because what we have to keep the hope when other people don't have the ability to. You know, my job and the people that I work with, our job is to work ourselves out of a job. You know, what we hope is that there's no more completed suicides. There's no more severe depression that people are contemplating, planning, having ideas of suicide. And we have to continue to hope that we make a difference. And those stories that we hear of somebody saying, you know what, I really was going to do this until I talked to you, we know that it does work for some people. And if our services can save one person, then that's more than enough.
Are you the only one doing your job, or are there other people who are crisis managers?
We have several crisis managers, crisis suicides, therapists.
Might get overworked there, but you get
another. we have a huge team of people all throughout ComCare and also at the crisis center where I'm at.
All right, so what motivates you? What makes you get out of bed in the morning and want to go do this some more?
I think what motivates me is, like many people, there was some mental illness in my family. And so having that background of knowing what it does to the person, what it does to the family, those kind of things become important. And then, you know, like I said, my first adult job was at a inpatient mental health facility. And so just seeing that even when people are at their worst, even with they're the most symptomatic, where other people might be scared or avoid them or throw them away. Because sometimes mentally ill people are treated as if they're disposable, that I I just had the ability to see everybody as a human being, and I really could be in their shoes at some point. In
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How would I want to be treated? And so I continue to do that because my personal why is to make sure that every person that I deal with feels seen and heard.
That's all we have time for, but thank you for being our guest this morning. Been very informative. Our guest, ComCare Crisis Manager, Maggie Thompson. That's all for this edition of Issues 2025. See you next week. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.